That song is very appropriate for today's message. Overwhelmed is the title of my message. And today, I want to talk to you about God's mercy. I think you'd like to hear about God's mercy because remember last week I told you God's grace is us getting what we do not deserve, and God's mercy is us not getting what we do deserve, right? A woman had her photograph taken, and upon seeing the proof, she complained to the photographer, and he said, "Man, what's wrong?" And she said, "This picture doesn't do me justice." And after he looked at the picture and looked at her, he said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy." One of the most astounding facts of life is that God's mercies are new every day. Just like that song we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness." New mercies I see. Every day we wake up to God's mercies. Can you testify to that? Amen, church? I mean, we all need God's mercy, right? And so this morning, I want to continue our study as we go verse by verse through 1 Timothy in this study called Real Church. In a world where everything is in some state of decay, God's mercies are all around. Amen? And God's mercies never grow old. God's mercies never run out. God's mercies never disappoint. God's mercies are never ill-timed. They are never, they never ever fail. They are new every morning. Form-fitted for the challenges and the disappointments and the sufferings and the temptations and the struggles with sin, God's mercies are all around. Sometimes they are all inspiring mercies. Sometimes they are rebuking mercies. Sometimes they are strengthening mercies. Sometimes they are hope-giving mercies. Sometimes they are heart-exposing mercies. Sometimes they are rescuing mercies. Sometimes they are transforming mercies. Sometimes they are forgiving mercies. Sometimes they are provision-making mercies. Sometimes they are uncomfortable mercies. Sometimes they are glory-revealing mercies. Sometimes they are truth-illuminating mercies. Sometimes they are courage-giving mercies. And sometimes they are life-changing mercies. If you have your copy of God's Word today, I want us to look at the Apostle Paul's story. We're looking this morning at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. This is Paul's testimony, and he is just simply overwhelmed by God's mercy. Are you overwhelmed by God's mercy? Isn't it wonderful to be on the receiving end of God's mercy? We're going to look at this story, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, and I want you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. Paul begins by saying in verse 12, "And I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." This is Paul's testimony about what Jesus meant to him. Paul is just amazed at God's mercy in his life. And basically what Paul is saying here is he said, "Look at me, I am an example. I am exhibit A of what God can do in a person's life. God brought me out of such sin, and he has saved me for his glory." Now sometimes we get the idea that there are some people out there that are too bad or too sinful for God to save. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you think, well, I know that God can't save me. I've done a lot of terrible things in the past. I want to tell you this morning, the encouragement this morning is that there is no one that God cannot save. God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Nothing is impossible with God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says the Lord is able to save from the uttermost those that come to God through him. Now, Jesus is very specific there. He says, through me, right? He doesn't say through Allah. He doesn't say through Buddha. He doesn't say through yourself. He says through me. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him, right? And so this morning, we want to look at Paul's story. And the first thing that I want you to notice in Paul's testimony is that he is a very thankful servant. He begins in verse 12 by saying, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is thankful. Are you thankful?
Yes.
Many times, self-included here, we are very unthankful. We are ungrateful, aren't we? We complain about what we don't have. We complain about the weather not being just so. We complain about not having this or not having that. We are very unthankful. But Paul is a very thankful servant, isn't he? He begins by saying, I thank Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's overwhelmed. And that word, some synonyms for overwhelmed are amazed, overcome, dumbfounded. He is overwhelmed by God's mercy, and he is so thankful, isn't he? He is so thankful. He's thankful for several reasons. First of all, he's thankful because God chose him. Look at the rest of verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. Paul is just so thankful that God looked at him and counted him faithful and enabled him. Now that word enabled basically means he clothed me with his power. Remember, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is one of my favorite verses of the Bible, Philippians 4:13. That is a verse that all of us ought to hang our hats on, that we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And so Paul is thankful that God has counted him faithful and he has enabled him and put him in the ministry. Now, Paul was in the preaching ministry, but in essence, every child of God is in a ministry. You're in the ministry. You may not be the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, but you're in the ministry. You're in the business, in the ministry, selling cars. You're in the business, in the ministry, teaching school. You're in the ministry, working in the hospital. You're in the ministry wherever you do, wherever you go, every child of God is in the ministry. And Paul was amazed by the fact that God had chosen him, a murderer, to be a preacher. It amazes me all the time. I'm just overwhelmed that God would choose me to be in the ministry, to be a preacher of his word. I'm far from perfect. I don't know what constitutes me being up here. And so I'm amazed, just like Paul, that God would call me to preach his word. Let me remind you, brothers and sisters, Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Thomas was a doubter. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old and Lazarus was dead. God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the chosen. And when God calls you to do something, he will enable you. He will clothe you with the power that you need to accomplish that call. And so Paul is thankful that God chose him. Secondly, Paul is thankful that God converted him. Look at verse 13. He says, although I was formerly a blasphemer. Now, a blasphemer is someone who insults or shows contempt or a lack of reverence for God. Some of you are blasphemers. You don't even realize it. You show a lack of reverence for God. You don't show the respect for God's church as you should. You talk about your pastor. You blaspheme the name of Jesus. Think about it, friends. Here is a God who loves us enough to give us the very breath that we breathe, a God who loves us so much that he allowed his son to be hung on the cross to give us forgiveness for our sins and eternal life, and to think that you and I would say abusive, hateful things about a wonderful Savior like that. And Paul says, that was me. That's who I used to be. That's what I used to do. I was a blasphemer. And then he says, I was a persecutor. That means he was one who gave the Christians a hard time. Now, the Bible tells us that Paul would get letters of permission from the government to pursue Christians. And he would go to after Christians, and he would make sure that they were imprisoned, and some of them were even killed as a result of Paul and his letters. So we know that Paul persecuted the church beyond measure. And then Paul says, I was an insolent man. Now, that's the worst word of all here, okay? That word means a sadistic kind of cruelty. That word means to show a rude and arrogant kind of disrespect. It is the attitude of a man who seeks to embarrass people just for the sake of embarrassing them. It is the picture of a man who loves to injure people just for the sake of injuring people. It is the picture of a person who likes to publicly embarrass people. It is a man who inflicts injury just for the sheer joy of inflicting injury. Paul says, I was an insolent man, and that used to be me. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man. But notice what he says in the middle of that verse. But I obtained mercy. You remember last Sunday, and I said it just a moment ago, that mercy means that God does not give us what we do deserve. Here is a man who, if he had gotten what he deserved, God would have zapped him with a bolt of lightning and sent him right to the pit of hell, right? But Paul says, praise the Lord, God didn't do that. I didn't get what I deserved. God showed me mercy. Now, I hear people all the time, they say, I didn't get what I deserved. I feel mistreated. I didn't get what I deserved at work or at school, or I didn't get a trophy like the rest, or I didn't get all-stars, or I didn't get this, and God didn't do for me, and God didn't do this and that. I am thankful that I do not get what I deserve, and you ought to be thankful you don't get what you deserve. Paul was thankful for the mercy of God, and he said, I did all these things ignorantly and in unbelief. In other words, he said, I didn't know any better. I was a lost sinner on the road to hell. I didn't know any better. Now, I want to just remind you, friends, that a lost person doesn't know any better than to act lost. Are you with me, church? Sometimes we point the finger and we say, look at that person, how they're acting and talking. Listen, a lost person doesn't know how to act and doesn't know how to talk. The problem is when the saved saints are more sinful than the sinning sinners. We know how to act. We know how to talk. We know how to walk. And the problem is when we don't walk and talk and act like we should. And so before we point the finger at somebody that's lost, we need to remember they don't know any better. So Paul says, I was acting in ignorance and unbelief. But praise God, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Amen? The Holy Spirit always convicts us of our sins, right? And so the Holy Spirit convicted Paul of his sins, and Paul said, I exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was gloriously saved. So Paul is thankful that God chose him. Paul is thankful that God converted him. Paul is thankful that he is no longer who and what he used to be. Thirdly, Paul was thankful that God captured him. Now look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Now, the closest word that we have in the English diction, in the English language, to this word exceedingly is super. And so, in other words, we could say here that Paul is saying, and the grace of our Lord was super abundant. Okay? If that helps you any, it's super abundant. In other words, Paul is saying this mercy and the grace of God is just overwhelming. It is super abundant. Back in verse 13, Paul says, I was a super sinner. But now Paul says, God showed me his super grace. Amen? Paul is grateful to God for his mercy. He is thankful that God chose him. He is thankful that God used him and captured him. He is thankful that God converted him. And the second thing that we notice from this testimony is a faithful saying. Look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Now, we're all tuned in. We're all leaning forward. Our ears are open. We want to know what this faithful saying is, right? Well, look at verse 15. Here it is. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When Paul says, here's a faithful saying that you can depend on, he's saying, here's the truth. I'm fixing to tell you the truth, okay? The faithful saying is that Jesus, the Son of God, came down to this earth to be the Savior of all mankind. Hallelujah. Now, can you imagine how it was when Jesus left heaven and came down to this earth on that very first Christmas night? Awe-stricken, dumb-stricken, dumbfounded, the angels must have gathered at the gates of glory and wondered why in the world Jesus would leave his perfect throne in glory to come down to this sinful world. They surely did not understand. Now, why did Jesus do that? He came into this world to save sinners. He came in this world to save us, right? Is there anybody here today that's not a sinner? We're all sinners, right? And the Bible tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Aren't you glad that Jesus came into the world to save sinners? Amen? And that's why he went to the cross. The Bible says that in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And so Paul said, here's the faithful saying. Here's the thing that I hang my whole testimony on. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, don't miss these next few words. Paul says next, of whom I am chief. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul was a persecutor. Paul was a cruel bully. Paul was prideful. Paul was arrogant. Paul was haughty. And yet Jesus saved him. Anybody here today in sin and you think there's no hope for you? The devil has somehow convinced you that there's absolutely no hope for you, that you have done some God-awful things, some terrible things, some unforgivable things, and you are destined to hell. Brothers and sisters, I got news for you this morning. God saved an arrogant blasphemer, a prideful persecutor, and a cruel bully like Paul, and he can save you too. Now, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said. I don't care what kind of past you have. I don't care how many skeletons that you have in your closet. You can be saved. Paul said, I am an exhibit of what God can do in a person's life. Paul says, I'm an example. I'm an example of the grace and the mercy of God. Look at verse 16. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ may show all long-suffering, his patience, as a pattern, as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul is saying what God did for me, he can do for any lost sinner that comes to Christ. Now I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship that Christ wants his church to have. Instead of dispensing grace, it dispenses liquor in a friendly, accepting, inclusive environment. You can tell people secrets and they don't usually tell others what you tell them. The bar flourishes not because people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to be loved and accepted. And so many people seek a counterfeit at the price of a few drinks. Jesus wants his church to be friendly, accepting, inviting, and inclusive. A place where people can come in and say, you know, I'm not who I need to be, but I'm here to find out how I can be who I need to be. I'm a sinner, and I need grace, and I need God's mercy. Alcoholics Anonymous has found out how to do this, but our churches often don't know how to do this. Hello? The third ingredient of Paul's testimony is a resourceful Savior. As Paul was giving his testimony and talking about God's grace and God's mercy, he's just overwhelmed by what God has done for him. He just can't contain himself anymore. And so he breaks out into a song. It's almost like he breaks out into his own doxology. And he says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." Paul is overwhelmed by God's mercy. And as that song that we sang earlier says, "I know the power of your cross, forgiven and free forever. You'll be my God. All that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you. Into the glory of your presence, God, I run into your arms. Unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you." Have you ever experienced God's grace and God's mercy? His mercies are new every day. As I went through that list earlier this morning, some of them are awe-inspiring. Some of them are truth-revealing. Some of them are life-changing. Some of them are disciplining mercy. Some of them are eye-opening mercies. Some of them are heart-melting mercies. Fitted for every challenge of life, God's mercies are there. He says, just reach out. Come to the throne of grace and receive my mercy. Would you today come to the throne of grace and receive his mercy? The song we're about to sing says, "Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever." Today, would you listen with not only your ears but your heart and hear the Spirit call? Would you come today just as you are, with all of your idiosyncrasies, all of your attitudes, all of your habits, all of your sins, all of your skeletons? Would you just come today and receive God's mercy and God's grace? Would you come and live forever? Father, as we now prepare for this time of response, I pray that your Spirit would be upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us in this time of invitation, that we would respond in a way that would please you, in a way that would show obedience to you. God, thank you for Paul's testimony. Thank you for reminding us today that no one is too bad or too sinful for you to save. The devil has played mind games with too many people here. Too many people think they're useless and they can never be of any value to you and your kingdom, but the devil is wrong. Look at Paul. Look at all these other examples in the scriptures. If the truth we've not known, those of us who are saved, we can look in the mirror and say, "Look at me. Look what God did for me. Look what God did for me, he can do for you." And so God, have your way this moment. May we come just as we are and not leave just as we came. Thank you that you love us so much, that you accept us the way we are, but you love us so much that you don't want us to stay the way we are. God, we are just overwhelmed and astounded by your grace and your mercy. May we celebrate that as we respond now.